jokes, by the way.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The Food Revolution Papers, a chance to look at the politics on your dinner plate. Joining me in this quest for knowledge are my very good friends, the writing and research team of Manny Barling and Ashley F. Brooks. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Simon.
You know my love of starting with something absolutely off the wall. I have a beauty this week. There was a news article that caught my eye a couple of days ago. As you've probably heard, the veritable company of Hewlett-Packard, otherwise known as HP, has announced it is getting out of the PC business. Great day for consumers and a miserable day for the legions of tech support people that make their livings fixing the pieces of junk that the company makes. Anyway, the story is about the ill-fated tablet computer that HP unleashed on an unwilling public a couple of months ago. Sales were so miserable that production was halted and the price slashed from $300 to $99 just to get rid of the damn things. At $300, they were making no profit whatsoever. At $99, they were essentially taking a $200 bath on each unit. All the remaining inventory, of course, was quickly disposed of. HP were so excited that 2 days ago, they announced that they're going to make one more batch of the tablets to meet consumer demand. All I can say is the MBAs have completely lost their minds. A net loss of $200 per unit, and they're going to make more of them. I mean, it sounds like something the government would do.
Yes. it also raises the point, everybody loves a bargain. Isn't that what this is about? Everybody wants a bargain.
Right. But, I mean, it makes no economic sense whatsoever.
Neither do most American corporations. We're certainly on a decline, as most Americans agree. So I have a quick one before we jump into our mystery guest, and yes, we do have a mystery guest today, and this is a warning, and I'll tell you what happened, talk about strange stories. My cat dragged the newspaper over in front of me at breakfast the other day and started meowing at me and pointed to an article, and I started reading this article about pet treats and salmonella, and my cat just insisted I do this show. So this is for all the dogs and cats across the country. Merrick Pet Care of Amarillo recalled 248 cases of its doggy wishbone pet treats because of potential contamination with salmonella. Potential's not the correct word. They don't recall anything unless it's an actual danger. Hell, they rarely recall anything that is dangerous. So when they go out and recall 240 cases, you know it's very bad. And this is immediately after Purina Pet Care, a major brand made by Nestle's, recalled some of its bags of Purina One Vibrant Maturity Dry Cat Food. Vibrant Maturity, I mean, geez, I think the cat reads the label before we feed them. I mean, some of these names are, you know, just incredible. So what's happened is there's been more than 3 dozen pet food recalls and dog treat recalls, like, you know, pig's ears because of salmonella in the last year. I haven't read about one of these in the newspapers, have you? Ash, have you read any?
None at all. Have you, Simon?
Oh, good Lord. I mean,
Do you hear Bogey in the background? He's chirping into it. He said, no, he had not read any of it. Did you hear him? He's meowing in the background.
Let's face it.
Bad.
I mean, how many food recalls are there in the newspaper or on TV? Virtually zero. You know,
Someone at once, two or three people, usually gets up to a dozen people die, then they report it. Okay. But if one child disappears or one wife is found, you know, somewhere in the back forest, buried under dirt, it only becomes important if it involves some kind of cheesy National Enquirer type of headline, or else, you know, we need someone like our guest Jan Barrett to announce it on the internet and to really push these stories so people read them. So does anybody care about whether the people's pets die? Apparently not. But I got a Facebook recently that both of you may have seen on my Facebook from a friend of ours whose dog died of cancer.
At 7 years old.
She's been in mourning for the last 6 months of his diagnosis and is literally home in shock over losing this dog. And yet they put out this salmonella-based food, and nobody cares enough to even notify the public. So
do you want to hear how I did it, Simon? This is what I've been doing. I found a way to buy cheap organic food for my cats online. It's a product called Organics, O-R-G-A-N-I-X. It's available for dogs. It's available for cats. It's expensive at Petco and all the places I go to. Fortunately for me, Petco and a lot of the places decided that they're not going to handle the organics for cats because I can't find it anywhere out here in California. So someone whispered in my ear, sort of, and said, you know, you can get it cheaper online. I said, you're kidding. And he said, no. And I said, what about the shipping? It's free shipping. So I went online, and cat food, this organic, small bag of organics is like almost $23 for this bag. I go online, and I found a place called Wags.com. And at Wags.com, they had it at $18. So I thought, okay, that's cheap. That's much, much cheaper. Then when I went to order it, it said, you know, it had the usual questionnaire as to where did you hear of us. And on it, it said coupons.com or something on the Internet. I don't have it in front of me. I'll do it again another show. So anyway, the coupons.com, or if you go to coupons and put Wags after it, came up was I had a 20% discount. So now I got my cat food. I bought two bags for $30, shipped free to my house. No added time of running to the market. No added time of, you know, being worried about the salmonella in the food. And I can't believe I actually bought it that cheap. Is that a great story, Simon? I mean, yeah, I know. You can buy it online. So when people
It is. And I think, you know, people need to realize that buying online can actually be a wonderful resource, and not just for cat food.
Yeah, and there's coupons online.
Oh, you mean dog food, too. So I have the last comment about this before we move on, because one of the things I wanted to warn our listeners about, because everybody loves to get a pet for their child, but in the last 6 months, several children under the age of two were infected with salmonella as a result of coming in contact with dry dog or cat food, and it's one of the first times they've admitted that this infection can be carried to a child through the dog through eating this food or coming into the contact with the food, which raises us to our next question, because we really have to get into this subject about children, and that's vaccines. Throughout the last month, Ash and I have been very concerned about vaccines. We got Simon into this, and Simon just became very angry about the analysis, too. You know, we've talked for a long time about ghost riding and how the industry is literally bombing everybody with these pro-industry articles that look like whitewashes of the Kennedy assassination to me. And when you look at it, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, whatever the truth was, we'll never know because no one ever bothers to tell the American public the truth. So there's this new analysis of 1,000 medical journal articles, and they found that relatively few health problems are caused by or associated with vaccines. So this is according to the Institute of Medicine. Well, the problem is that when you read what they did, they basically reviewed all of the existing ones. They found some adverse effects, but they went away temporarily. So what they did is They basically had an 18-person committee, all consisting of people at major universities, most of them on the payrolls of the major drug and food corporations, and they examined 158 different effects. But they didn't go into some of the more important ones involving autism and other things, nor did they really spend any time trying to determine whether there was a link between vaccines and autism or type or 1 diabetes. So anyway, to make a long story short, we started to look at this, and we started to look at all the people who wrote on this and participated, and they're all basically funded by the industry. So we found one person immediately disagreed, a consumer advocate, Barbara Lowe Fisher, who's the founder of the National Vaccine Information Center, and she basically said the same thing we're saying. It's inadequate to determine whether vaccines are safe and whether mandatory vaccinations are necessary. So you don't have enough studies that the methodology is sound, Health Day says, and whether it's the big increases in asthma or ADHD and other brain immune system disorders, the fact is that children are getting sicker and sicker after all these vaccines. So we wanted to explore some of this and talk about this. But first, the last comment, back to our ghostwriting. When you look at 1,000 articles written by doctors who are paid by drug companies to publish favorable items, and you total those up and you ratify them in legal work, in other words, you confirm them, that what other people are saying is true, it's to me like listening to the village liar and eight people on the other side going, that's what it is, it's true. You cannot make a lie into the truth by simply hiring somebody with a PhD, 18 of them, 100 of them, 1,000 of them, to say what the liar is saying is true. No matter how many reports a liar makes, they are still a liar. No matter how many people support that lie, it doesn't turn the lie into truth. This is like trying to turn horse manure into gold. It doesn't happen. So we have a guest today, Jan Barrett, the wife of Simon, who's carrying a bullwhip behind him to make sure that he behaves himself today. And I can say that because I'm on the other coast, and I'm safe from Jan today. But, Jan, we invited her on the show because we wanted a mother's opinion about shots and how children react with shots. So, my children are frankly too old for me to admit on the air, so I don't have as much recollection of them getting shots as much as them screaming like crazy for 2 or 3 days afterwards. So, Jan, tell us, what are your recollections of your children having shots?
Well, my oldest son was a tiny baby, of course, but, I mean, I remember the first ones that he got was at 2 months old, and I can remember me crying when they hurt my baby by sticking him with a needle, not once, but twice when he was 2 months old. So, and, I mean, and every time the other ones, of course, I did the same thing, I mean, it just broke my heart to see him hurting my child like that. I remember thinking if it was me hurting, I'm like, that they'd want to put me in jail.
Good point.
Yeah, and I mean, I do remember thinking that, but I wasn't given a choice. You know, they told me it was something that had to be done. Now, my second son was 7.5 years apart. My children were 7.5 years apart. And I traveled a lot. My ex-husband and I traveled a lot, so I didn't have a regular pediatrician for him. So I didn't keep up with his all at one time, I mean, like he was supposed to. And whenever come time for his school age, they told me I had to have all his shots up to date before they would let him in school. So it was harder for him because he had to have them, you know, as he was older. And he didn't like it at all, you know, and I didn't like it at all either, but there was no, I mean, it was either that or he wasn't going to get in school, then I was going to get in trouble for not having him in school, so I didn't have any choice in the matter.
Okay,
and how old was he?
There is an important question here. The research that we've turned up over the past few weeks is that the average number of shots given to a kid by the time they are 3 years old is more than 30.
It's 33, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And actually, right now, at 94.6% of the infants, the babies, 94.6, are vaccinated within the first 24 hours of birth. And that vaccination is hepatitis B.
Wow.
Could someone explain to me why you have to give hepatitis B, which is passed from drug addicts to an infant within 24 hours? I'm stunned by it. What do you think of that, Jan?
I don't know. I mean, it shocks me. It really shocks me because, like I said, when my children was younger, when they were babies, we didn't have that. So, I mean, if the kids back then didn't need it, why would they need it now to begin with? And like you said, that's a good point, you know. Why would they need it? Why give them something if they don't need it? And this is all requirements like it used to be with the others?
Yes, it's absolute requirement. And they are given it repeatedly, like you were getting the other ones, every X amount of time period over the first year. They are given
my son's hepatitis B to a baby. Oldest one. I mean, my oldest one had it. He had the DTP and the OPV when he was 2 months old, 4 months old, and 6 months old. He had them both in the same day. Each one. I mean, like I said, 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months. And then another one, an OPV, when he was 15 months old, and then the DTP when he was 18 months.
No, MMR, wasn't it?
No. The MMR was separate. That was when he was 16 months old.
Okay, now, all of this sounds gibberish, all right? So let's talk about them. MMR, that's mumps, measles, rubella, I think.
Yeah.
Am I correct there, Ashley?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. OPV is oral polio vaccination. So it's to deal with polio. And DTP is diphtheria and something else.
Right.
Okay. That's it. That's the sum total.
Right.
It's actually diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, paritussis, whatever it is. But, yeah, that's
pertussis. It's like a whooping cough.
Good. Thank you, Ashley.
I didn't even know that.
Now, the other new one, of course, you went right by, was Gardasil, which is for the human papillomavirus, which is now being given to children.
And, by the way, that was not part of the test that I just discussed either. So, basically, there's an argument going on. I think I've discussed Christy Brinkley and others have raised this huge argument about whether this is causing autism and childhood diabetes and other items that we also attribute to genetically modified foods, MSG, and other chemicals. But it's becoming clear that these untested vaccines are a problem. And let me tell you as a lawyer how I know. The Congress felt compelled to pass a National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act in 1986. Now, why would they pass a National Vaccine Injury Act, which is like a special court to hear products liability lawsuits against any manufacturer of a vaccine? Now, we had a Republican Congress during Reagan's administration. There's no reason for passing this kind of federal law except to protect the corporations, Pfizer, et cetera, that make these drugs. So why would you need a special court to protect these companies if they weren't doing something that was either very dangerous, edgy, or just simply wrong? And as I read and studied more, I found that they were just not testing these things. The same way they didn't test last year's flu vaccine, and they put it into use hoping that it would work. So if they don't have a court like this where they can fix the outcome, they can't afford to put all these out. And you might be surprised, Jan, to know that during the early stages of the Iraq War and Afghanistan, the federal government was concerned about illnesses among the various soldiers. So they commissioned a variety of different drug manufacturers to make vaccines for them. So they put all these untested vaccines out on soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq that contributed to a major amount of health problems. I also wonder if they contribute to some of the other health problems of them coming back, and including psychological problems, because basically, you know, they're just shooting up on drugs.
And that the Gulf War syndrome, supposedly they were giving a vaccine to the soldiers, experimental vaccine also to the soldiers at that time. It is actually known as the Gulf War syndrome, and it was caused by the vaccines given to the soldiers.
Do you know my son was in Iraq?
Yes, I know.
And I don't know anything about it and him having any of that, but he's never told me anything about it, but it's possible he could have been in on that too then.
Well, and he may not have really known because, you know, they're in no greater hurry to tell them what they're doing than the schools were to tell you what they were doing.
True.
Because one of my complaints that I wanted to come back to when Simon cut in was the fact that they don't tell you. As a parent, they just say, you have to do this. And if you
right.
ask why, they look at you like, why are you asking me why? Who do you think you are asking me why? I mean, that's their attitude, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes, it is. Like I said, we had no choice. It was like, you do it. You know, this is it. You've got to do it. And whether you like it or not, you know, I'm sorry if your kid don't like it. That's too bad.
Yeah.
We're doing it anyway. So,
and one of the biggest problems at that time was there was no choice within the vaccines that they had to have mercury in it. And they were using mercury, and they were using what they call is in order to do what they call fixative in the vaccine, to make sure that this substance, this culture, they use what's called an adjuvant. And that adjuvant, they have three different types, which we won't get into because I know you guys don't want to hear about science. But it's a vaccine. Within that vaccine, they are using all sorts of different fixatives. And some of it is aluminum phosphate. Some of it is mercury. The mercury, supposedly in what they call a single dose now, they're not allowed to use any mercury in it. So you actually have a choice of no mercury in your vaccine. But I'm sure parents aren't told that. And a lot of the vaccines still carry the thermosol in it, even though when you go to the CDC, which is part of this whole thing that we keep talking about, politics, they're saying, let me read this exactly the same. The most recent and rigorous, this is 2011 report through 2012 seasonal flu, the most recent and rigorous scientific research does not support the argument that thermosol-containing vaccines are harmful. Mercury is not harmful in your vaccine? Who wrote this report?
That's one of the reasons why we're coming back to this, is people across the United States need to take a harder look at what they're doing to their children, the schools are.
And with the flu shots, because flu shots are coming up right now, and this is a very serious issue with people with flu shots. And there's a Dr. Blaylock, B-L-A-Y-L-O-C-K, who is a neurologist who has been working with children, pediatrics, and neurological work, has a wonderful video on YouTube that I would definitely go and watch it before you take a flu shot.
Absolutely. I don't take them.
Pardon? You don't? Oh, good.
I don't take them. I refuse to take them.
Well, the flu shot debate is a curious one. Yeah, great idea. You know, take a shot, you won't get the flu this season. But how do they know what the flu virus is going to be from year to year? It seems to me that the strains change. Aren't they just like shooting in the dark?
Yes, I think they are.
I think they are.
Yeah. They get some information from the flus that come out of the Far East, and I think they base their basic attack on that, although I think most of this is designed to basically sell more drugs because it is a captive market. You have very limited liability because the government's protecting you the entire way. So when you look at it, it's really just a great spot for the drug industry to jump in and make some money without much consequence. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And while we're on flu shots for just a moment, I would really like to take a moment of something that was in one of the reports from Dr. Blaylock, who does a lot of studies on, again, neurological problems. And he was saying that there's a potentially debilitating adjuvant that is put into the H1N1 swine flu, and it's the same kind of thing that's being used in the other flu vaccines. And, of course, you have an opportunity before you get a shot to look in the Internet, look up the flu shot that you're going to get, and look up the list of ingredients so that you know what's going into your body. They use what's called an oil-based adjuvant. Again, this is used to with the vaccine to stimulate the vaccine, supposedly. And they're called squalene is what they use in that particular one. It's an oil adjuvant. It's an oil-based adjuvant that was they used this injected into a rat, which were found to be very toxic. The rats developed MS-like disease that left them crippled, dragging paralyzed hind quarters across their cages.
Wow.
The squalene causes severe arthritis. It leads to severe immune responses, such as autoimmune arthritis and lupus. Now, when I read this, I thought, oh, it can't be. So, as Manny knows, I was up till 2 in the morning again last night, reading, because I'm going, this, you know, it can't be. But consistently across the board, doctor after doctor after doctor keeps saying the same thing, that the adjuvant that they're using, whether it's this particular squalene, which causes an autoimmune response, but the vaccines that they're using in the children, which have, like, they're using, like, this one going to this baby who is 24 hours old, is receiving aluminum phosphate adjuvant. Now, in that, it's associated with, they can have nodules, granulomas, erythema. They're going to have, which is like at the site. And
actually, explain what some of those are, because I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. It's at the site where you're going to have rashes. You're going to have allergic reactions. You're going to have, like a fatigue. And, again, yeah, this can cause, in the future, it can cause arthritis. And in animals and human studies have shown that aluminum can cause nerve cell death. Now, when you have a baby and that baby's just born, its nerves are not complete yet. It's continuing to grow. It has kidneys that are not fully functionally growing. And one of the problems with aluminum is that you have to have fully developed kidneys to expel it. You have a little baby. You have children that they are giving this aluminum. Aluminum will enter the brain. It causes inflammation not only in the injection site but leading to chronic joint and muscle pain and fatigue. So in the future of that child, there could very well be neurological problems. While they're saying, oh, it doesn't cause autism. Well, I don't know, Jan.
Well, just like you said, just knowing that alone right there makes you suspicious of it. I mean, I would be afraid. You know, I didn't even know that until you just told me. I didn't know anything about it.
Isn't there a fairly well-known connection between aluminum and autism?
Yes.
I would think so. But, I mean, when you think of aluminum, that is in, like, the aluminum we talked about that they use with the salt, and they use in the sugar, and it's an anti-clumping. Well, that aluminum goes into your brain and eventually is going to cause, you know, autism or Alzheimer's.
Okay. Well, let me raise the subject. We had a friend who died of the various effects, what's called Lewy body disease, which is a form of autism. And that was something that came up constantly, because one of the things that happens with autism, it's almost like the plaque around your teeth. You get plaque in your brain, and that plaque is caused by a variety of things. They think it's foods and other stuff. Of course, none of them ever think of what the effects are of medicines and other drugs and the residues. But one of the things that constantly comes up in this is aluminum. It just over and over and over again, there's a problem with aluminum. So here we are with the same kind of problem, and the industry knows this, but they don't seem to care. They just keep pumping in that aluminum. And I still don't understand why the aluminum. Do you know why they put aluminum in, Ashley, other than to claim it's a preservative?
Well, and they're using it to heighten the ability of the auger, the actual like the hepatitis growing in the I don't know how to explain it for lay, the hepatitis growing in the dish, that then you have to put something with it to make it an injection,
right.
And then it lasts a lot longer to build up the immune system. So they're claiming that it's been well tested and, you know, it's been used for years, so we're just fine with this. I'm sorry, but putting aluminum, and then if they don't have enough of this particular virus or bacteria to make, or virus actually, to put into this vaccine, then they're going to increase the amount of adjuvant. And each batch is different. That really bothered me, too. There's no consistency in any one batch. So every batch that you get, even when they're saying, oh, we tested this. Oh, my favorite, this, Jan, listen to this one. This one really got me. They went over and they tested, I think it was in Denmark, and they did the testing for the children's vaccine, and one of the vaccines that they tested was in Denmark. All of the additives that are used in the product here in America are not permitted in that country. Yet that is where they did the testing.
Whoa.
Now, that really bothered me. Does that bother you?
Well, yeah. I mean, why is it okay for here and not there? None of it. I don't like that at all.
No, it's not.
I'm thinking about my grandchildren, you know.
Well, you know, let me give you an example, Jan. The HPV vaccine. Merck, who's the manufacturer, has spent millions lobbying campaigns to make this a mandatory vaccine for young girls. It's not, they don't want it to be a decision of the doctor. They don't want it to be a decision of the patient because they can't convince people to do it. So instead of convincing people to do it, they bribe government officials through donations and political donations to give them shots. So the product is called Gardasil. It's approved for girls as young as 9 years old, despite the fact that the youngest girls participating in the clinics were 11 to 12 years old in the clinical testing. And the problem with this is every time they do this, much like the psychedelic drugs that they suddenly started prescribing for children under the age of 5, is that they really don't know what this is going to do. So they have a limited number of tests, and then they prescribe it for a maximum number of people. Can you imagine if every 9-year-old girl in this country had a virus that's been poorly, or excuse me, a drug that's poorly tested? It could affect their reproductive organs. It could expose them to breast cancer and all sorts of other various things. And when you look at, if you research this at all and look at any articles, they list at least a dozen or more articles that criticize Gardasil and basically criticize the method of which it's being marketed. But if the parents won't hear about it, because if they manage to get this approved and force the government to do, they'll show up at school and they'll say, okay, Mrs. Barrett, I'm sorry, but your child can't come into school unless they have this test. And you go, what test? And go, well, you have to have this. It doesn't matter what the test is. And that's what their attitude is.
Well, that's what they did to me with the other, the immunization shots before. With my children, I mean, it was like, you can't get in. You can't get your kids in if they don't have their shots updated, you know. They don't give you a choice. Like I said, you have to do what they tell you to do. And then you're threatened to go to jail if you don't abide by it.
Yeah. Isn't that the biggest racket you've ever seen?
It really is. It's like, too, with these ingredients in these shots. It's like they, you know how you take medication on top of medications that's for a problem that's caused from the medication that you had previously.
Right.
One shot is for one thing, and it causes something else. So you got to have another pill to take care of that, and then so on and so on. It's like the shots is going to be causing other problems that you're going to have to come back with something else to cure or treat.
Right.
And it's just not right. Something should be done about that.
I think that happened to a white rabbit somewhere in rock and roll history, don't you, Simon?
Yes, I seem to recall that.
To me, that's what the song White Rabbit's about, when you think about it, you know? One pill makes you et cetera, et cetera. And that's really the sad part of all this, is that we kind of laugh about it, but the government's doing everything that everybody in the 60s generation said they were going to do, only it seems to me it's even worse than what everybody in my generation predicted.
One of the things that Dr. Blaylock had said that I really struck me is that he said that 51 studies were done on children under two, and every single one of them said that children do not benefit from vaccines or are protected. And in a 30-year study, adults, they found that the vaccines did not reduce hospitalization or death. In a 30-year study on adults, 0% of these were altered from being hospitalized or death. And the worst part to me with the vaccines is it can show up 1 to 2 decades later. In addition to the fact that the mom carries now this new problem created from the vaccines, and it can show up 2 to 3 generations later. So
that
mom having the kid who has the kid. I mean, it's like so the grandchildren can show up with this problem from the vaccine. And with the autism, a 15-month-old given injections that could cause neurological damage, or for me, it's like, oh, my God, you're giving a 24-hour baby this injection? And it can show up 3 to 5 years later because the nerves are being developed. The brain is being developed. So it can cause, you know, genetic changes within that child, and there's no proof. So da-da-da-da-da, on down the line goes the drug company and the next, which is very disturbing to me.
Right. I want to harp on this autism issue just for a moment. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I remember looking at a report that I think detailed the increase in autism from around 1980 onwards. And we're not talking about, you know, a 5 or 10% increase.
No.
You know, we're talking orders of magnitude in increase. And there has to be a reason.
That's what they keep coming back to. It's the same thing they keep coming back to. Like right now, it's 1 in 300 to 500 children in the U.S. will develop autism. That's what do you think of that, Jan? Isn't that a huge number?
It's a very, very huge number. I mean, it's surprisingly that nothing is being done about it, though.
Because,
okay,
again,
Jan,
you have...
Wind your clock back to... When you were, say, 20 years old,
okay.
I.e. last year.
Thank you, right, Jan? Thank you.
Right.
We'll take that.
No.
Being
serious, I mean, do you recall ever seeing an autistic child? I mean, it was a rarity.
Actually, no, I didn't. As a matter of fact, I have never been around one. I've just read about them. I have never been around one at all, to be honest with you.
Right. I wind my clock back, you know, to the time I was 20-ish. And, yeah, I knew a couple of families that had autistic children, but... It was a couple of families over a 20-year period, and I'd met thousands of people. It was a huge rarity. The same goes with cancer, for that matter. You know, you hear a story about he or she has been diagnosed with cancer, and you go, wow. I mean, what's the statistics today? One in two or 1 in 3 people are expected to get cancer in their lifetime.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you. And to me, much the same way. The only reason I think I expressed on other show I'd had any exposure to it is I knew a number of ladies who I'd gone to school with that were longtime friends who became special education teachers. And when they did, I had to ask, what's special education? Because I didn't know at the time either. And now it's becoming a commonplace one. But what bothers me most is this ongoing battle with Christy Brinkley and this group to feel strongly about it. And what bothers me about this battle is the industry has done everything they can to defame these people, to attack them, to treat them like idiots, because if they have to accept they're telling the truth, then, of course, they have to, one, pay damages for what they've done, and, two, they'd have to change the entire program, and the truth might come out that our government is sanctioning the use of experimental drugs on the overall population. And they just seem so unwilling to accept a mistake. And it's kind of like the ATF. We just had these people resign at the ATF because they basically lied to America. They lied to, they not only committed the crime of having an American killed as a result of their failed policies, but then again they got up and they lied afterwards and everybody acted like they didn't know anything despite the fact that the emails and everything prove otherwise. So this is another example of the government doing this. And I want to throw in my weekly shot at the Tea Party and all those people who want to destroy all these various regulatory agencies. As bad as the FDA is, it would be even worse without them. As bad as the EPA is, it would be even worse without them. And when we're done with this, we're going to discuss honey. In fact, we might even move into honey a little bit right now. You have something you want to wrap
up
with,
absolutely.
Ashley?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. There's more than just wrap up, Annie. It's like, but can I complete this? This
well,
is really...
but not if you're going to read thousands of scientific
I'm not. This
tests.
Is, no, it's not scientific. Simon, it's not scientific. I swear to God. Well, maybe.
Simon, get
the... God, I'm so sorry.
Simon, get the hook ready. Go ahead, Ashley. Pour the shit out of it.
Okay, this was not boring to me. This was from, okay, but then again, it's me, Simon, so what can I say? There's a doctor who proceeded to say, now the pertussis vaccine, which is one of the vaccines that you talk about with your child who got this vaccine, right? Jan?
Right.
Okay. Vaccines such as the pertussis vaccine are actually used to induce autoimmune disease in laboratory animals.
Ooh.
The best and most publicized example is the so-called experimental allergic encephalomyelitis. That means inflammation of the brain. As expected, the unfortunate animal did develop this from the pertussis vaccine. The causal link is never disputed. Yet when babies are given this vaccination, they develop the same symptoms as in the laboratory. The causal link to the vaccine is always disputed and usually considered coincidental. It goes on to say, innocent parents and other carriers have accused of causing the symptoms of the vaccine darn age, but allegedly, systemic lupus is one of the innumerable recognized side effects of a number of the vaccinations. One of the best papers, and they list the name, 1948, it hasn't lost any of its relevance since it was published. And then they go on to talk about how they experimented with vaccinations, doing what they do with kids, on nurses. And they took this group of nurses, and they gave them the vaccines. And within 1 year, one of the nurses died. The rest of the nurses all developed side effects of the lupus. They had arthritis. And they were severely, they had severe rheumatoid arthritis for the rest of their lives. Painful joints, fevers, ongoing, never stopped. And this is the experiment that they ran on nurses back, you know, in the 40s. And they've known this since the 40s and 50s. Yet they continue to do the same vaccinations, which I found. Did I bore you? Are you guys awake?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Okay, see, Manny.
Sadly, so am I. Because this is the type of thing that we talk about repeatedly. They ignore the tests that hurt them, and they basically allow them to apply to every other thing in the world, but not to whatever deals with their product. And then what they do is they go out and they buy scientists and doctors with big salaries and grants to say whatever it is they want to say and go, look, see, this doctor or this scientist agreed to us. But as we'll get into a little later in the show, hopefully now, This applies across the board. And I picked something that Ashley sent me to illustrate this. It's really simple. Now, you know, basically when your child was young, Jan, you've fed them Frosted Flakes and all these honey-coated cereals, right? They were, kids loved them,
yeah.
And after all, they had honey
right.
in it. Well, do you know that when the Food Safety News interviewed experts around the country, they discovered that the honey sold in the United States is cheap junk from China and India, and that it's contaminated. Listen to this quote. It's no secret that honey smuggling is being driven by money, the desire to save a couple of pennies a pound. And this is the head of the Washington Legislative Chairman of the American Honey Producers Association. He's just admitting that. He says, quote, these big packers are still using imported honey of uncertain safety that they know is illegal because they know the chances of getting caught are slim. And it turns out that all of these honeys, food safety investigators from the European Union barred all shipments of honey from India because of the presence of lead and illegal animal antibiotics. So what do you think they did with it, Jan? They shipped it to the United States. So
well, they'll
the
use it.
United States. Isn't that incredible?
And pay for it.
Yeah. And by the way, it was officially banned in 27 countries in Europe, okay? And what happened is, I'm looking for the breakdown. It says, oh, by the way, this is no small amount, by the way. It's 37 million pounds from India. Okay, the same banned honey in Europe was sent here to India, and sent from India to Europe, was banned, and then sent to the United States for us to read. And according to these interviews, there's still millions of pounds of transshipped Chinese honey coming to the U.S., and it's coming from India and Vietnam, and everybody in the industry knows it. But they buy it up because they need it to put on cereals, honey, and we're talking about some of the biggest brands in the world, and particularly in the United States. He said that they basically, here we go, we are now the dumping ground for something that's banned in all these countries, okay? And this is a guy with 80,000 bee colonies in the U.S., the largest American honey producer, protesting about all this foreign honey that's contaminated, and the FDA has done nothing. And this is a case of them picking and choosing. The U.S. consumes about 400 million pounds of honey a year. It's an average of 1.3 pounds a person. And I can guarantee you, I'm not one of them. I'm not a big honey eater, and now even less. 35% is consumed in homes and stuff. 65% is bought by the industry for use in cereals, baked goods, sauces, beverages, and hundreds of different processed foods. So let's talk about some. I make a Carolina honey barbecue sauce that everybody loves. Now I wonder if that honey I've been putting in, that orange honey from Sue B., who was on one of these lists,
is one of the
people participating in this foreign honey ruse, you know, is now in my barbecue sauce. So I got honey from China, got high fructose corn syrup from Cargill, Monsanto, et cetera. I got refined sugar from genetically modified sugar beets. So when you look at that Carolina barbecue sauce on the shelf, the only reference it has to barbecue is ultimately you'll turn your barbecue on before you use it. But Jan, it's a mother. If they had a label and said this came from China, or someone disclosed this information, you wouldn't give this to your children, would you?
No, not if they had it like that. No, I don't think so.
But does it trouble you that our government knows that? That this stuff is contaminated and they don't care and they just basically, you know, just let it go into the food store?
I mean, to me, it's like they use our kids and as they're growing up as guinea pigs on all this stuff to see just who's going to survive it and who's not. I mean, that's the way it looks to me in my eyes.
Well,
they
agree.
Think, it's like, you know, well, okay, well, we'll get, you know, like, remember the old commercial said, well, Mikey will eat anything?
Yeah.
It's like, if the kids can eat it, anybody can, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, what bothers me.
You're right, Jan. You know what? That has new meaning to me now. I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
So, Jan, throw this in. So you have a baby who's getting 33 injections of drugs, mostly untested. Some of them are no better than crystal meth to me, in the sense that crystal meth isn't tested. And the only thing that makes crystal meth illegal is what it does to you. But if crystal meth didn't make people high, it wouldn't be illegal. So these vaccines are no better cooked up in a lab. And the only reason that they're not illegal is we can't tell whether the 1 to 3 year old is getting high. So if they got them high, they'd ban them, right? So here you got a child. You're feeding these drugs to. Now you're giving them, oh, I'll put some honey in their water instead of Karo syrup. And by the way, Karo syrup's high fructose corn syrup. So if you don't want to feed your child cooked up high fructose corn syrup, generally people put honey in the bottle, right? Warm it up and let them get a little sugar rush. It's good for them. Gets rid of the gas. You know all the reasons. So now, after all these shots, you're giving them, you know, honey with lead and, you know, animal antibiotics and smuggled in, and high fructose corn syrup.
Manny, I love the new warning on this. This one got me. Under health hazards, you know me, I had to go find this one. Because of natural presence of botulism endosporums in the honey, children under 1 year of age should not be given honey. The more developed digestive system of older children and adults generally destroy the spores. Infants, however, can contract botulism from honey. So medical-grade honey can be treated with gamma rays to reduce the risk of botulism spores being present. What do you think of that?
Oh, I'm not surprised because, you know, I don't see there any signs that you can't give this to one-year-old. Then the people are giving them baby food with 15 ingredients that include MSG, you know, high fructose corn syrup, and other chemical crap. So here's this child, and it's 6 to 8 months old. Or I actually wouldn't give him canned food till probably 6 to 8 months, except maybe, you know, some fruit. Even then, the peaches and all those things that we gave our children in cans now have 15, 20 ingredients in them. So the child gets too many chemicals in their shots. They get honey that could have mercury, God knows what else, that's not pure and not good. Now you're giving them some breakfast cereal coated in the same honey with genetically modified wheat. We've actually talked to a person recently who was bragging about feeding their child, you know, the chicken bits, the McDonald's McNuggets.
Yes.
I mean, they ought to be shot in the street. And they wonder why our children are so screwed up with diabetes, autism, and a million other things. I mean, if I took my animal and fed them that, it'd probably fall over and die in 4 months. But the children.
I want to go back to the label, you know, the question you asked, Jan, you know, if it was labeled, you know, made in China, probably has lead in it, you know, she admitted that she probably wouldn't buy it. Now, you and I have been talking off and on about truth in labeling, and this is a golden opportunity because Jan has not been prepped in any shape or form. But Jan, that there are essentially four labels, and consider them for a moment. Okay, you're in the supermarket, and one says GMO. Genetically modified organism. All right. The next version of the product says natural. The third version of the product says conventional. And the fourth version of the product says organic. Certified organic. All right, so it's pretty easy to figure out certified organic. That means there's been no pesticides, nothing bad has been done to the product. You know, it's essentially the way nature intended it. GMO means it's been fiddled with in the laboratory. You know, it's the Frankenfood. Now, my question for you is the other two labels, natural and conventional. What would you think those mean?
Well, I would think natural would be natural. I mean, I never even thought about any of this until you become involved in all this. But, I mean, to me, natural is the way that you naturally eat. I don't know.
So it would be a natural ingredient.
Right.
Right.
Something that, nothing out of the ordinary.
So,
you know?
I mean, functionally, you'd consider it the same as organic.
Yeah.
How about conventional?
I don't really know.
I mean, just off the top of your head, would you view natural and conventional as being the same? The same.
Well, it would have to be two different things. I mean, conventional. I don't really know. To be honest, I don't really know what you're asking me.
Well, no, just what your initial impression is, and what Simon's driving at is how deceptive these are, because natural is one of those loopholes where it can contain genetically modified wheat. Because you have, one of the things that Simon may not have discussed with you is that basically the manufacturers of all these genetically modified foods take the position that it's nature identical. And, you know, you've probably heard me joke, Jan, that if you look at a genetically modified salmon, that's what I would call nature identical is comparing George Clooney to Frankenstein's monster. And, you know, so there's a certain amount of deception in the way they label. And Simon's point is that the reason that you struggle with this is because you don't really think about it, and they know that consumers don't think about it. So guess what? It gives them a license to be deceitful and deceptive, because you basically expect them to tell the truth, right?
Well, right. I don't really know about what is it you said, conventional. Okay, to me, before he got involved in all this, to me, organic meant not real. I'll be honest, that's exactly what I thought. I mean, it was like, okay, you know, the natural was the stuff that was the real stuff. I mean, that's the way I was always looked at it. I mean, I'm 56 years old, and that's how many years it's went that was what it was. And, I mean, you go in the store and you price things, you see all this other special stuff, and it's more expensive. I said, well, it's more expensive because it has to have something added to it. But then he explained to me the difference. And I said, well, you know, that's not the way I was, growing
none
up.
None of us were.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
I never realized that. Because he would say something about organic. I said, I'm not eating fake food. I mean, that to me, that's the way it was. I'm just a little country girl, you know. Little
yeah,
southern girl
that
don't know any better.
But you're right. This is exactly what the industry wants you to believe, and why they keep doing all these deceptive practices, because what they're doing is playing on what we learned as children and using it to their advantage. So what they've done essentially is look at all of our roots, because, you know, I was raised on a ranch myself, and I ate nothing but natural foods growing up, and I look around and I found out one day, in my case, after having cancer and all the things that went with it, that guess what? I was not eating natural food. And that what I was eating was basically genetically modified food, and nobody was telling me the truth. And I keep coming back to that, nobody telling me the truth, because it just irks me that American businesses think they can be paternal or just lie to Americans and tell them whatever they think Americans want to hear and sell them food, whichever food or however they want to sell their food, and that Americans don't care or don't notice, or that we're so stupid we won't catch up with the truth sooner or later. And that's what's happened, is they're just basically taking advantage of you and me and everyone else, because guess what? The American public has not been paying enough attention to what's going on. And
right.
And that's why, by the way, I don't need to listen to any of our shows, where California is going to be the first state to have some kind of truth in labeling that requires genetically modified foods to be labeled. Because what they say in Europe is that anytime you mark something genetically modified, not only do people not eat it, they insist that it be put on a different aisle of than the regular foods, where in the United States, they just mix them all up, even Whole Foods, so you really can't tell the difference because they don't want you to know the difference. But I believe that, and I think you'll agree with me, if Americans truly know where their food's coming from, they might have a different attitude, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I really think so. But I think, you know, what a lot of it is that these companies are making more money off of this other stuff, and that's why they don't want nobody, like you said before, they buy off the government or whatever. You may not have used those words, but, I mean, to be able to put it in, and it's all a money thing. And it's sad because that's what it's come to, and look what it's doing to the citizens of the United States, for instance.
If
the other countries are banning this and banning that, then sending it over here saying, well, we don't want it, but we know the Americans will take it, you know, and they're making money off of it, of course, and we're stupid enough to buy it. So
yeah.
But we're not stupid. I use that word, but I don't really mean stupid. I mean, you know, blind enough, in other words, not realizing what they're selling us.
That's what they wanted, and leave us no choice.
Exactly.
Jen, I'm going to throw another one at you. All right, there's a food coloring. I think it's called Red Number 5. It's banned, but guess what? The food industry has something like a 40 or 50 year supply of this stuff. So the FDA has given them special dispensation that they can use up their stocks. So here you have a product that is out and out bad for you, but because Big Food has this, many decades long supply, as long as they have the supply, they can keep using it. How does that make you feel?
Not very good at all. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, that'd be like saying, well, you bought meat that's bad, but since you paid for it, you got to use it up and instead of throwing it away. It just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, Jan, that is closer to the truth than you could
it's so truthful.
Well, that's exactly the way I look at it. I mean,
exactly, Jan. Exactly. You hit it right on.
I got an answer
right on it.
Jan, I can tell you.
Okay, who wants to tell her about right eggs?
Oh, yeah, ask her about right eggs, Simon. You be the one.
Uh-oh.
Okay, do you remember the big egg recall?
Yes.
It was over half a billion eggs. It essentially boiled down to like 2 eggs per person for every person in the U.S.
Oh.
Yeah, so they recalled all these eggs. What do you think they did with them? Do you think they destroyed them?
I don't know. I have no idea.
No, they repurposed them. They pasteurized them and put them in baked goods.
In what?
Baked goods. In every supermarket you can imagine.
Kids' lunch boxes,
wow. How can they get away with that? How can they do that? I mean, I don't know. Now you've got me at a loss of words here now.
Well, you know, don't feel alone. We were at a loss of words, too. I mean, you know.
I will always be at a loss of words on this one, Jan.
It just doesn't make any sense. And they wonder why maybe it's a deal to make the doctors richer or something, to have y'all, everybody go into a doctor when they get sick.
I didn't believe the right egg story, so... I did what Simon does. Simon called Right Eggs and asked them outright, what happened to your stinking eggs? And they said, well, you really should talk to our PR people. And I said, ah, nah, come on. Yeah, spill the beans. And he said, well, if they were refrigerated, they were repurposed into baked goods.
And that,
well,
if
people can eat them like that, how can, I mean, if people can eat them like that, how come they can't eat them just outright? If it's safe for them to eat them like that.
None of it makes sense.
Well, you know, can you imagine serving sunny side eggs up to your children?
No. I mean, not at all.
No, you can't anymore. You can't have that 2-minute egg. I mean, if you cook a 2-minute egg, you're bound to get salmonella. I mean, that's why we switched over to organic, to at least reduce the numbers. Okay, I'm going to throw this one at you guys, because this one has really bugged me since looking at the vaccines again. And the question is this. Some fine looking at some of the lines between, because now I know the ghostwriting even at the CDC. I can read who's ghostwriting what. And when I was reading it, my question became, the vaccines have changed, but there's stockpiles of vaccines, which have the mercury, et cetera, in it. What happens to those vaccines?
Well, they do a right eggs.
Yeah, they'll be given to poor people who can't complain. Because they basically test poor people, minorities, and soldiers in this country, because none of them can complain. I mean, that's one of the things that bothers me. American soldiers go in to serve their country, and these companies turn them into test projects. There's something to me that's sacrilegious about that. These kids...
And they have no choice.
They're willing to give their lives for Americans, and they let American industries test them like they're guinea pigs.
Look up Gulf War Syndrome to the listeners. Look it up. You'll find Gulf War Syndrome comes from experimenting on our soldiers.
That's scary, isn't it?
That really makes me mad, though, because my son was a soldier, and it really makes me mad. It touches home a lot closer.
Well, my dad served in the war, and he served 3.5 years in the war as a captain and in the Air Force. And yes, I mean, if he were alive right now and I said this to him, I can't imagine what he would say. Although, you know what? He was such a good soldier, he'd probably say nothing. He'd say,
well
that's what they said to do.
Most of them now, a lot of them, will tell you, well, we're there to serve our country, and that's how we do it. You know, this probably would say, you know, we did what we had to do, you know. So, but like you said, they weren't given a choice either,
no.
You know.
Yeah, so. I know.
There was a new experimental blood out a couple years back that they were experimenting with, and I've never heard anything more about it. Maybe we should do another show on that one. And apparently that's who got to use it. They got to use the experimental blood on the soldiers, synthetic blood.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that, and you're right. It's suddenly gone very quiet.
Yeah, very quiet.
Oh yeah, because it was a complete failure.
So that might be interesting to take a look at. One of the things I do want to absolutely make sure that this is covered is that the problem with the honey didn't just start, even though it's like full blown. Only if you're looking for it, going to see it, because it's not, obviously. Did you read about this, Jan, in the news or hear it about in the news, honey?
No.
Simon, did you?
No.
So this chloramphenicol is been in, they use it in the honeybees because there's a bacteria that goes into the honey. Now, I get back to what we've been talking about with GMO, bacteria, BT toxins. Okay, now they're having problems with the honeys, and it's the big full-blown deal happened in 1997, and this happened back then when they first spotted Subi's honey being the one, even though they're now denying that this ever happened, that it was Subi, according to the FDA, was taking the, they went to China to Canada, Canada down to the U.S., and then relabeled, and this chloramphenicol was being used in the honeybees because all of the honeybees were dying off. So the problem with this is that this particular antibiotic has potential carcinogenic problems. It has what they call genotoxicity, which means that it causes a toxic impact on the genes, and has a potential to cause antimicrobial resistance. So that's, you know, bacteria resistance.
Wait, let's put this in simple terms. It's carcinogenic. It causes cancer.
Well, and this drug is only used for the absolute nothing else will help it. So aplastic anemia, which is a fatal blood disease, this is what it's used on. They're now trying to use it on antibiotic-resistant E. coli, antibiotic-resistant salmonella. So it's something you don't want in your food. And you don't want it in your food because God help you that if you ever do need to use this antibiotic, even though it has these potential other side effects, which are horrible, it may be your only alternative, and you don't want to put this in your system. So we've gone, again, organic honey, and I'm ordering it online. Again, go to coupons, coupons.com, get your coupon. They'll ship it to you free, and you can actually get honey within the range, organic honey within the range of to prevent yourself from even being exposed to any of this lead or this chloramphenicol that could be in the honey. So it's just a warning that I'm going to shoot across the bow to people.
Yeah. Again, our message is look at the labels, look more carefully. If you're in doubt, research the food, because guess what? It's cheaper and easier to research food than it is to feed your children dangerous poison.
And this has been going on. It's not just a new thing, but it's just cropped up again. So they finally just admitted, here it is again. Well, I'm not sure it ever went away. It's just continued. So it's been in our Subi honey, which Manny brought up, because we used to use Subi honey. It was our favorite orange honey.
Right.
Yeah,
I remember
Subi. So at the end of the day, our point is really this. We want our listeners to join the food revolution. It's really very simple. Read the labels, reject foods with addictive chemical ingredients. Ask for free-range meat, avoid genetically modified foods and genetically engineered vegetables, and more importantly, vote with your paycheck. If you won't buy it, sooner or later be replaced. If you're unhappy with the food, go to the manager and complain. They'll change the food. They'll bring in organic food. Even Walmart is giving into the pressure and providing organic food and better food. And if you want to extend your life by an additional 10 years, consider changing your diet to organic. You don't have to suffer, and it won't cost a lot if you shop carefully. Remember, you can eat the same foods you're eating now, but make sure the ingredients are organic, just like your grandmother used to make. The theory of our books is go back to the diet your grandmother and great-grandmother ate, and you'll live as long as they did, because this generation will not. And, Jana, some last thoughts for you. Are you concerned that all these things are going to affect your children and grandchildren and make them live a shorter life?
Well, yes, I am. I do know my daughter-in-law is pretty conscious, self-conscious on things that she feeds the kids. She keeps up with a lot of that kind of stuff. But, to be honest, I never did. And, I mean, my kids might be suffering now from it that I never even knew about. You know, I could have prevented if I did know about it. And, I mean, I never read labels. As a matter of fact, I never read labels until I was told that I was diabetic. And then I would read labels a little bit more, but not enough to say that I really should have done more. You know, I mean, I really should have done more.
Now she just hates it because, oh, there goes Simon again. He's looking at the bloody label.
Everything I pick up, he's looking at the labels. And I told him he's taking the fun out of all the food I like. But it's true, though. I mean, you look at it and, you know, you shouldn't eat this, you shouldn't eat that. And it's like, well, everything in my kitchen I shouldn't be eating. But I didn't know, you know. I just
you should be eating the same foods. All you need to do is make sure they come from a better source. I still eat hamburgers. I still love them. But I won't eat one from McDonald's or Burger King or the rest of them. I go out and get organic hamburger. Tastes 10 times better, and, I don't get sick from them. If I go have one of those hamburgers, I roll over sick an hour later, and I'm in bed sweating like a stuffed pig. And that's something, you know, that I'm more sensitive. I'm lucky. I have a body that tells me this food is poison. But children can usually withstand a lot of poisonous type food.
Right.
So it's important that everybody listen to this lesson. And Jan, I really think that over a period of time that the curse of Manny and Ashley will actually help your family live longer.
So we're going to haunt each other a long time, Jan.
I really appreciate you coming on and joining us today. And
well,
giving us a mother's thought. And I wish you'd come back more often and talk to us about your feelings as a mother and how it's affected you throughout your life and how it affects your views on children. Ashley, have any closing thoughts?
Well, I didn't finish something, so I have to finish this because
uh-oh.
I know that flu season's starting. September's hitting. Kids are going back to school. They're going to be getting vaccinations, okay, because it's just part of the program. So you can reduce the reaction at the site with cold compresses. And if you do it for several days until the immune reaction calms down, you will reduce fever, listlessness, flu feelings, tired, and fatigue. It's a very simple intervention. Reducing at the site, putting cold compresses on the site of where you got the injection. And supplements. The biggest, most important of the supplements is the vitamin D, which we will get into in another show. Please come back and listen to it. Because vitamin D has what you call an antimicrobial peptide. What does that mean? It means that it will rapidly destroy cell walls of viruses and bacteria, including tuberculosis. So if you're getting these injections and you cover that area with ice and you're taking vitamin D, which we will again cover in another show, vitamin D will kick up your own immune system and your own antibodies, and your body will heal itself, and you'll have a stronger immune system at the end of it since you have to take these vaccines. Okay, I'm done.
Thanks
that was
that
my
advice.
Little tip of the day. Sorry, Wade.
Okay, time to wrap the program up. I want to thank Manny and Ashley. Always a pleasure talking to you. And, you know, quite honestly, I could talk all afternoon because I'm pretty certain that as soon as I hang up the phone, Jan is going to beat me senseless for putting her on the spot.
He does it to me all the time.
But Jan, seriously, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And, you know, I didn't prep you, and I did put you on the spot. But,
yes, you did.
But there was good reasons for that. I wanted to get your honest opinion. I didn't want something that you'd had, you know.
Rehearsed, huh?
Yeah, yeah. There's no value in that.
Simon,
okay.
It's still not going to help you. You're
no,
dead. Doesn't matter.
Okay, until next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe weekend.
Especially the long weekend.
Yep, it's a long weekend, so enjoy the dog days of summer. And
by the way, Simon, we should tell our listeners, because it's the holiday weekend, we're off this weekend on Saturday and not doing the Surviving the 21st Century show, but we will be there on Sunday with Jan, so Jan will have an opportunity to get even with us on Sunday.
Indeed. And actually, Sunday's program is about a cold case, and it's going to be a very interesting program.
Oh, I can't wait to hear you guys.
Yep. We will be back next Thursday with another in our food revolution papers. So, till then, goodbye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Thank you, Jan.
Okay, bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye.